our resurrected and exalted Lord Jesus is who unites us. Forever he reigns. And as we just sang, forever we sing hallelujah to him. Because you see, Jesus is our everything. He's our every reason. And without him, frankly, we are nothing. He is why we are his church in the first place. We are his people, and as Stephen so eloquently communicated, we should be the most alive people on this planet. We are his people, and so we should reflect his glory. We should reflect his peace, his humility, his love for one another and for the world. And so I just want to take just a moment to, as I normally do, to highlight a new series that's coming up starting next Sunday. And in light of our recent announcement to increase women's roles here at Alta Mesa, I, for one, am very thankful for the way in which you have been honoring and loving one another in your conversations with one another, because we've been receiving a lot of responses to that. Some of the responses are people are comfortable with the roles under consideration, and there's others of you that are showing and feeling some discomfort for those roles. And we want you to know that all of you are a part of this church family, and all of you are loved. And I just want to say that I love you, and I appreciate all that you are and all that you give to this family, and the way that you allow God to use your giftedness for his glory. And what I believe is underneath the surface of some of our comfort and our discomfort are some deep-rooted fears, some ideas passed down to us, and even a few myths about who we are in Christ and how we do church together. And here's what I believe is significant for this next series. I believe it is significant that we reorient ourselves to Christ in order to be unified in him. We've got to reorient ourselves to Christ so that we can be unified in him. So beginning next week, I'm going to call this series For the Body, Using Our Giftedness for the Good of the Church. And Father God and Jesus the Son and Holy Spirit remind us of why our giftedness is so important. They're the ones who have graced us with our giftedness. And here's why, reminding us in Ephesians 4, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And oftentimes we go in search of our spiritual giftedness so that we can find some type of personal fulfillment. However, what I'd like to challenge us with in this new series is once we identify what our giftedness is, maybe we should ask ourselves a different question. How can I use my God-given giftedness for the good or for the health of the church? And so in this series, we will explore together why this is not a gender-specific or a role-specific question, but a giftedness for the good of the body question. And so I want you to join us, even invite someone, for this four-week series as we focus on this truth. We are all needed for the good of the body. We are all needed for the health of the body of Christ and for the glory of God, no matter our ethnicity, no matter our social class, and no matter our gender, because here's the truth. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So where does that journey with him begin? Well, for Mary, her renewed journey with Jesus began when he called her by name in the garden outside of the empty tomb, right? Death seemed so final. She watched as they buried him there, and she walked away confused, wondering, what's next? But in one sweeping moment, Jesus called Mary by her name, and her eyes and her heart was opened up to life, resurrected life. And as she embraced Jesus, quite literally, I believe, she exchanged her gloom for joy, her tears for laughter. She exchanged her human confusion for Christ's commission. And we too, oftentimes, we find ourselves, like Mary, weeping in the garden. We weren't eyewitnesses to his death and his burial, but we do realize that there are some things in our lives that need to be put to death. Some things that are keeping us estranged from Jesus and his love. But we're not sure where to start. We're a little confused like Mary. I believe there's someone, maybe someone's here today that needs to respond to the Lord. You're ready for this new life in Jesus that he offers, but you're not quite sure where to begin. You're not quite sure what your next steps should be. And if you're anything like me, you're asking, if I put to death these habits that I've held on to for so long, if I put to death these hurts that have been consuming me for so long, if I put away these hang-ups that have just been irritating to me and others for so long, what will life look like after death? The death of these things. What will it be like? And you're confused and you're afraid and you're unsure of what is next. I want you to listen to me. If I'm speaking to you right now, please listen. Do not be afraid. You are in good company. You are in good company because, like Mary, you are in the garden weeping and you feel alone and you're wondering what's next. And you, just like each one of us around you, we all felt that struggle, that tension as we decided to give our life to Jesus, unsure of what was next exactly. And for those of us here today who are disciples of Jesus, can you remember those feelings? Can you remember what it was like to surrender your life to Jesus? Would you just take a moment to take a deep breath and imagine with me, go back to that place. Where were you? What do you see there? What do you hear? Who's there with you? What was your motivation? And for me, I'd been involved in multiple unhealthy habits and hang-ups for nearly 4 years, and I'd been connected to my hurt, my pain, my anger for so long. They were like a comfort blanket for me. I didn't know if I could let them go because I didn't know what it would be like without them, right? And so for me, I feared what was on the other side of insanity. I feared what was on the other side of putting those things to death. And perhaps for you today, it's an unhealthy relationship. Maybe it's an unwillingness to admit your pain, your grief, your anger, your pride, or maybe there's a certain area of your life that's just out of control, and up to this point, you've been unwilling to admit your need for help. And perhaps you've been pulled in a certain direction, and you know you need a new start. You know you need a new beginning. You know you need new life. And where you keep being brought back to is Jesus. Let me highlight for you what was made very clear to me when God revealed himself to me again. I too was alone in the garden. And I was weeping, wondering what was going to be next. Romans 6. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue in it any longer? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And so on that glorious Sunday in a garden meant to hold death, Mary exchanged death and defeat for life and victory in Jesus. And for us today, the people of God, like the Hebrew slaves of old so long ago, they were held captive in Egypt and they were being summoned by God to come out of slavery and into freedom. We too are being called out of our slavery to sin and into freedom with Christ. new and resurrected life in Christ. And like Mary, some of us may be confused about those next steps. What will life look like for me if I really put to death these things? But please listen, listen. One final word of encouragement, and receive this promise from God. At the brink of burying something old, there is the emergence of something new. And it's glorious, and it's wonderful, and it is challenging, and it will be difficult. But God, through His Holy Spirit, will be with you. And Jesus promised to Mary, and His promise to His disciples, and to promise His promise to all of us would be to listen to His voice and follow Him, because He promised, I will rise again. New life, new hope, a new start. And as we choose to surrender our all to Christ's care and control, there is a glorious, beautiful, resurrected life on the other side. So as we close the message this morning, what will it take for you? What will it take for you to die to sin, to bury these old things that continue to fester in your life, that old self? What will it take to die and to bury those things in the waters of baptism so that you can walk in newness of life? What will it take to awake yourself out of your spiritual slumber and into this spiritual commitment? Maybe, like Mary, you need to have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. So if you could imagine with me just for a moment, let's have an encounter with Jesus. I never like it when preachers tell you to close your eyes, but if you want to do that so you can imagine better, do that. If not, sit calmly and imagine this. You're in a garden and you're weeping. And the Judean lion walks up behind you. You can sense his presence. And he gently kneels down, and you don't realize how near he is. And he whispers in your ear, "Why are you crying, my son? Why are you crying, my daughter?" And you reply to him, "My Lord, I've been looking for you." And he replies, "I am always with you. You were loved. You were forgiven. Now, will you go and tell others this good news?" The humble roar of the Lion of Judah set Mary's passion aflame. And I appreciate Andy's interpretation this morning of her just running in joy and excitement to go and tell others. Her answer was, "Yes, I will go and share this good news." The only question that remains this morning for you and for me is, will you arise with Jesus in this new life and go and tell others? Will you rise and exchange human confusion, the unknown, the unsure, the fear? Will you exchange those things for Christ's commission? If you need to respond to the Lord Jesus this morning, we're going to stand here in just a moment, and we're going to be led in one final song, and your shepherds and ministers will be in the aisles ready to receive anyone that needs to respond to the Lord. If you need prayer, if you'd like to commit to the Lord Jesus this morning in baptism, we would love to minister to you in any way.